Welcome to the New York State Conservative Party's biweekly podcast, Patriots Podium. In an election year generally regarded as pivotal for America, we in New York will also be faced with a key test of parents' rights versus government mandates and demands. Our ballot will not only contain candidates for president, U.S. Senate, Congress, and the state legislature, it will have a yes or no vote on a constitutional amendment created by progressive Democratic majorities in the state assembly and state Senate. The left wants you to think it is an equal rights amendment. That is a complete misnomer. In actuality, it is a parent replacement act. We are joined by Greg Garvey, the executive director of the Coalition to Protect Kids in New York, who will discuss what the amendment does, how it came about, and what we can do to stop it. The Coalition to Protect Kids in New York is a ballot issue committee working to educate voters on the constitutional amendment that will be on the November 5th ballot. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Chairman. Great to be here.
Thank you.
As you mentioned, we are a ballot issue committee registered with the New York State Board of Elections. The key thing here is we are a nonpartisan group of comprised of New Yorkers from all walks of life dedicated to taking on this disaster one-size-fits-all bill.
Well, let's get right to it then. What was the process to bring this amendment about and onto the November ballot? How did this all come about?
So in order to amend the state constitution, someone from the state legislature needs to introduce proposed language. It needs to be passed by both houses, the state Senate and the state assembly, two separate times. And then it goes for a statewide referendum vote, which is where we're at. And it just happens to be conveniently placed on a presidential election year with multiple House seats facing tight races.
Yeah. You may be non-political, but obviously the people behind this were not. Changing the state constitution is the ultimate elevation you can give legislation in New York. It essentially takes it out of the hands of the public permanently. Whereas, you know, with the legislature, every 2 years you're voting on people to represent your views. The constitution's a little different. Thus, all constitutional amendments need to be closely looked at by voters, which is really not the history on constitutional amendments. They need to be looked at very closely. The progressives, the left wing, wants to make this amendment about abortion under a claim of equal rights. This amendment is about anything and everything beyond abortion and has nothing to do with the public's perception of equal rights legislation. Can you elaborate on this?
Sure. So a little bit of background. Article 1, Section 11 of the New York State Constitution already includes equal rights language, race, color, creed, religion, et cetera, et cetera. Now, like we said, the proponents of this bill are framing this as purely an abortion bill. And that's just patently false. Abortion law in New York State to begin with is more by and large settled. It's not going anywhere. It's not under threat in any way possible. This is particularly just a scare tactic. New York on top of that has the most far reaching abortion laws in the country. So again, to frame this as that abortion laws are under attack here is patently false. The writers of this language are adding things that are of serious concern legally. Upon first reading of the amendment, it to the casual reader, like, oh, who's against equal rights? But once we introduce the real life legal ramifications of what happens if this is part of the state constitution, again, this is not just a law that could get challenged later. This is the state constitution is the highest law of the land, and to change it then would require a similar measure of another statewide referendum. So it's some really serious stuff here. Most concerning are, again, there's a Pandora's box of things here to question, but most importantly, the ideas are looking to add in the categories of age, sex, gender identity, and gender expression. Now, I'm sure we'll get into it a little bit here, but each of those things, if you can't quote unquote discriminate against them, the real life ramifications actually essentially gut parental rights and put kids in a situation where they could make decisions for themselves that they could seriously regret later. And there's a whole host of other things there.
Well, let me go into that. I mean, it's an extraordinary controversial area, gender assignment and transition for minors, you know, taking it out of the hands of parents, which is what this does. you know, and puts it really under, you know, a government framework, an umbrella, using, as you said, equal rights as the cover. You have, in my opinion, and in the opinion of the Conservative Party, properly, you know, described the amendment as a parent replacement act. And it's even a lot more than that. But I think that is the most stunning and serious charge you can really make about just about any piece of legislation that takes parents out of the equation on an important part of living. I mean, you've given us some context on the word, and please go with, I mean, who is supporting this amendment, and who is your coalition? Well, who's coming out against this? We are against it. The party is strongly against this, but we're just, you know, one of the spokes in the wheel.
Yeah. I guess, so it's the state legislature seems to be, well, they've been actually quite transparent in this. And if you read any of the recent articles about it, this is a total GOTV move during, you know, doubling down on the left-leaning Democratic base on the abortion issue. But again, our coalition is built, like, it's concerned parents really. And a whole host of other folks here that really, again, it's not, No one's against equal rights. This is really about the legal ramifications that are directly affect parents. Again, we've got folks all across the state, Democrats, Republicans, conservatives, liberals, you name it, that are mainly just really scared by what this means to their day-to-day lives. So, for some context here, if you can't discriminate based on age and gender identity and those kinds of things, that legally could allow children under the age of 18 to the right to have irreversible surgical and non-surgical transgender procedures without parental notice or approval. If a doctor or a hospital can't discriminate based on age or gender identity, they could be in trouble for, like, they would have to facilitate a minor's request for those types of things. It opens the door for the New York State government to have more authority over parents in making these kind of decisions as well. And then on top of that, there's also been other guidance from the State Department of Education that they're allowing children to transition at school socially without involving the parents if the child decides that the parents don't want to know. And then, you know, there's a case up in Skinny Atlas that's getting played out in the courts right now where the parents found out about this and they challenged it. The school district is citing the State Department of Education's guidance. But if this becomes the law of the land as part of the Constitution, the parents have no grounds to challenge it legally. They would just be out of luck. So really scary stuff.
Well, you know, the Conservative Party took your material. We did a large, email blast to our contacts. And I found that many people had literally no idea what this was happening. I mean, I received a universal shock. I had received a lot of phone calls. I mean, I received calls from state legislators thanking me for the material, if you can, you know, believe that. Are you finding the same? And I mean, the shock and surprise, and doesn't that give us hope in November?
1,000%. So there's a couple of things. Again, the it's an education game, and as we educate folks, it's an emotional issue because it really affects your, especially with parents, but even just common sense folks that understand how childhood is and whatever else, taking the hands, the decision-making power out of parents' hands, it's a really scary thing. And so it's really galvanizing folks. And the other thing here, which we haven't touched on, is, again, discriminating on age and gender identity. The idea of biological males competing in biological female sports, especially at the adolescent level, is really controversial. And just last week or the week before, Siena put out a poll that said 66% of people, New Yorkers statewide, are against that. Again, it was Republicans, Democrats, and independents strongly came out against this idea. And again, that's a thing. It directly affects parental rights. When your child is playing sports, you want to make sure that as they, you know, lace up their cleats and put their helmets on, you want to make sure that your kid's safe. And the fact that there are serious ramifications here.
Well, let me just say, the amendment wishes to codify in the state constitution, like we said earlier, many areas that are already protected, either in the constitution or in well-established laws and jurisprudence. It's almost like the progressives wanted to wrap the attack on parental rights against other issues for cover. We hear about abortion, but they generally are using this to argue on housing, to argue on education areas, to argue obviously on abortion. And these are well-established protected areas. This is the area, the transgender, the gender identification, the reassignment. This is the area that is like new territory, and they talk about everything but this. So because of your ballot access group, ballot issue group, and in a way, you know, you're governed even in some sense by like how not-for-profits are not supposed to be political. But I mean, we've run campaigns using the umbrella that you're using. We did it a few years ago on several statewide proposals, which we were successful. But let me ask you this. Even though you're not, your intent is not to be political, you had said earlier, and I think we've all expressed a concern that this is really, this is the cynicism I have working in New York State politics. I cynically want to say to you that this is completely about winning elections for Democratic lawmakers and very little about the actual issues that they were throwing in front of us. You agree with that? And I believe you agree with that. And can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, this we're just not partisan. It's not that we're not political. This okay. is a very, I mean, obviously this is a very political issue, but yeah, no, we are, this is a total vote grab, obviously, and it's very, they've been very transparent about that in terms of a GOTV issue. Our purpose here and our point is that this is a bad bill. If they, you know, the point that they keep yelling about this is an abortion amendment, the word abortion is not even written in the proposed language. This is, again, it's a kitchen sink here. It's a one size fits all disaster. If they wanted to codify abortion, they should have written abortion in the amendment, and that, you know, there probably wouldn't even be that big of a pushback. But the fact that there is, again, all those subcategories that we talked about before, that you can't quote unquote, even the age thing opens legal challenges. It would tie up the court system. If you can't discriminate based on age, that calls into any age based law. Can be challenged. Now, some of that stuff could get thrown out legally, but there's plenty of other stuff that opens up senior housing, you name it. There's things, any law that theoretically discriminates based on law on age comes into legal question. And we were seeing too, folks, there are pushes in different states for lowering the voting age. There are pushes for all these kinds of things. That we're seeing, it's not just fluff. It's not a scare tactic. It's real. I mean, there's real life examples nationwide for all these kinds of things.
Well, in addition to voting no, and obviously telling your family and friends, is which we always say, how can our audience help defeat this ill-conceived amendment? Maybe you could go over with us your website's excellent. Your website's actually excellent. How we can direct people to your website, what they can do to assist you, how they can have a broader effect. Our audience for this show is political activists. So this would be, I can't tell you if 800 people are going to watch this or 8,000 people, but I can tell you that they are political activists. So give us some direction.
Yes. So please visit our website, which is www.protectkidsny.com. There are links to all of our social media channels where you can like and follow. Please share our content. Please sign up on our website so we have your email and your contact information. As we, like I said, this is a statewide effort, a full-on political campaign. We'll be knocking doors and making phone calls. We're asking folks, again, this is an education game, and especially while we're waging the war on TV and in online and all the traditional advertising avenues, we also need a grassroots network of folks that, spreading by word of mouth too. So, host a fundraiser for us, we'll do Zoom briefings and give our presentation to folks. Again, the whole idea here is building up this grassroots network. So again, visit our website, please contribute if you can, sign up to be a volunteer, tell us how you can help, reach out. Again, we can't do this without each and every one of you. Anything you can do, guys can do to help would be very much appreciated. Take a few minutes, visit our website, www.protectkidsny.com. Visit all the links to all of our social media channels are there, links to donate, information on, you know, FAQs on this stuff. We're also, again, this as campaigns work, we're evolving and change and updating our messaging and adding stuff in. You know, there's a lot of ways to skin this cat. And, you know, this is the parental rights one is one that we're focused on. But again, there's a lot of stuff here, a lot of bad stuff. Again, it's a one size fits all disaster. So we need everyone's help to come on board, spread the word, do your part, and tell Albany enough's enough.
Well, thank you. I mean, you can be assured that anyone who wants to contact the Conservative Party on this, we will be, and you should be assured, very active in pushing a no vote on this, as we're pushing President Trump and our congressional delegation and trying to win elections. We will be pushing a no vote on this issue. I mean, the very nature of political parties should be to be able to debate issues and as regularly as possible and give people a choice through elections to the state legislature or Congress. This literally takes so much out of the hands of the electorate. And that's one of the reasons, like, the U.S. Constitution is very short in how the New York State Constitution has been misused for many years to just bury items that then become a high hurdle for us to overcome permanently at that point. So do follow us on this. We will certainly be doing a lot, and obviously Greg and his organization. So thank you very much. And I'd want to also thank Katie and Andrew, as they do every other week with our show. Keep people informed, help us present the best guests. And hopefully it's an opportunity for people to take action. All our shows remain available on our YouTube outfit, our YouTube station. You can go on to our website and you can find these shows. They're permanent, and you could take this show and show it to other individuals. If you can't get a hold of Greg to do a Zoom, you can always use this show to help educate people or speak with us. Thank you.